I want to talk this morning about the purpose of temptation. I'll tell you how this message came about. I was on the phone with my life coach, my mentor, my good friend, my spiritual overseer, Laverne Tripp, a few days ago. And he had spent some time with the Lord, as he does every morning, and he just said to me in conversation, "Carl, it just hit me this morning in my private time, the reality and the fact that Jesus faced every temptation we have ever faced." And when he said that, a spark was lit in my spirit, and I began to study on that and ponder the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, knows what temptation is. He faced every temptation we face, and yet he was an overcomer. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are." Was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. If it were not for this single verse of Scripture, we would have every right to say, "God, you don't know what it's like down here." But this verse tells us that he knows exactly what it's like to face any temptation we would ever face. Listen, it doesn't get any more comprehensive than this. He was in all points tempted as we are. That makes him like us, a human. Now, he was the Son of God, but he willingly laid down divinity and took up humanity so that we, in our humanity, could partake of divinity. He did that for us. The Message translation says, "Jesus is not out of touch with our reality." The Amplified Bible says, "He knew exactly how it feels to be human. And because God became a man, and we beheld him as the Son of God, Jesus, born the Christ child, now we cannot look up at the sky ever and say, 'God, you don't know what it's like down here.' He knows fully well what it's like." Now, if I were to ask how many of you have ever been tempted, I'm sure every hand would go up. Some of you perhaps were tempted about a dozen times on the way to church this morning. The purpose of temptation. Have you ever been tempted to take something that was not yours? Have you ever been tempted to get bitter at somebody for something they said to you? Have you ever been tempted to exact revenge on somebody who had betrayed you? Have you ever been tempted to get even with anybody who's treated you with an injustice? Have you ever been tempted to tell a lie, even a little white one, even to bend the truth just a little bit? Have you ever been tempted? Jesus was tempted in all points just like we are. Have you ever been tempted to rebel against authority? Jesus faced that one too. Have you ever been tempted sexually? Have you ever been tempted to compromise and just take the easy way out instead of doing the right thing. Have you ever been tempted to get your own way no matter what you had to do to get it? Have you ever been tempted to take advantage of someone or a situation for your own benefit? Have you ever been tempted to give up on God? Disappointed, disillusioned, given up. Have you ever been tempted to get angry at somebody? Or even perhaps, have you ever been tempted, at least in thought, to kill somebody? Have you ever been tempted to get puffed up with pride and let your ego go unchecked? I mean, you imagine all the temptations. It runs the gamut. And yes, we have all been tempted, but Jesus faced every temptation that we have ever faced in all points. Tempted. Let me say, first of all, it is not a sin to be tempted. Now, Jesus, when he was tempted, was fully man. Fully man. You know, he has the title of Son of God, Son of Man. And there's a fine line there. But when he was tempted, he had laid down his divinity and he was nothing more than a human man. How do you know that, Carl? That's a little heavy right there. He had to be fully man to be tempted. Because the Bible says, no one can tempt God. And so when Jesus was tempted, he was not the Son of God at that moment. He had become the Son of Man. It's not a sin to be tempted. Here's how dumb the devil is. He will tempt you. He will flaunt something in front of you. He will try to bait you and hook you, and he will tempt you. I'm talking to somebody obviously right there. He will tempt you, and even if you refuse the temptation and look the other way, he will make you feel guilty that you were tempted. Being tempted is not a sin. If so, Jesus would have sinned, and he never did, because Jesus was tempted. Now, I'll tell you the story. We're going to read 12 verses and get out of here shortly, maybe. What time is it? Okay. Jesus lived 30 years, basically in obscurity, and then when he was 30 years old, it was time for him to begin his earthly ministry, and you know how that began. John the Baptist was the biggest evangelist in the world on that day, and he was the forerunner to Jesus. John the Baptist is the one who had the privilege of identifying Jesus to the world. John the Baptist is the one who said, "Behold, here comes the Lamb of God. This is the one that takes away the sin of the world." And Jesus walked up, and John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. And when Jesus came up out of the water, God the Father spoke from heaven and said, and you know it, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." A lot of scholars and theologians refer to that day and that event as a double baptism. Jesus baptized in water and baptized in spirit on that occasion. Now you would think after a double baptism, Jesus, the Son of God, baptized in water and baptized by the Spirit descending, that would have been enough for him to start his earthly ministry. But it wasn't. Here's what happened as soon as Jesus received the double baptism. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. If you believe in writing in your Bible, underline those words, led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. There it is again with another, it is written from Scripture. Now, three gospel writers record this story of Jesus being tempted for 40 days in the wilderness. It wasn't enough for him to be baptized in water and baptized in the Spirit. Immediately, instead of beginning his ministry filled with healings and miracles, and he was led by the Spirit to confront the enemy. Three gospel writers record this story, and two of them use this word, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Luke records it that way, and Matthew says he was led. But Mark's gospel uses another word for the same story. Instead of Mark saying he was led, Mark uses the word the devil drove, or the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And that's just like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us at different levels. And the one we like the most, and the one that's more common, is a gentle nudging, the Holy Spirit leading, a gentle nudging. Two gospel writers said the Spirit gently nudged Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. One gospel writer said the Holy Spirit drove him. Sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us in a compelling way. It's more of a driven force. Have you ever obeyed the Spirit of God as he gave you unction to do something, but you really just had, you were compelled. You don't know why, but you just knew there was something inside you, the spirit man inside you, driving you to do it. Not just gently nudging, but driving you. He was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, the wilderness has always been the devil's playground. Oh, you can look at every example in Scripture, dating as far back as the children of Israel spending 40 years in the wilderness. And the devil was afoot. The devil was causing wars. Now, don't get bogged down and all depressed on that, because God showed up more than the devil did and provided well for his people and fought battles for them and fed them when they were hungry. But here he is, Jesus, the Son of God, laying down divinity, picking up humanity, baptized in water, baptized by the Spirit, and immediately, instead of going to a large outdoor crusade and performing miracles that he could have done then, it was important for him to face temptations from the devil. So important, it was the Holy Spirit that led him or drove him there for that purpose. Now, the verb to tempt means to examine closely and to scrutinize. So when the devil tempts us, he is examining our faith, our life, our reaction, our response to the, and he is scrutinizing our faith. One of the hardest questions in life, and this has happened to me because I'm not any more spiritual than you are. But there have been times in my life, is this God or is this the devil? There's that song. I won't sing it. Now, I know if I were to sing it, it would sound good in here. But it may not sound good to everybody out there watching. And I know the limits of my gifting, so I'm not going to sing it. But the song goes, "You, somebody's knocking. Should I let them in? Lord, it's the devil. Would you look at him?" Sometimes it's hard to discern at every knock. Is that God or is that the devil? And our Bishop Houston Miles said it like this. Usually it's both involved to some degree. And here's what I got from our bishop. He said, the devil tempts us that we might sin, but at the same time, God tests us that we might be proven. So anytime you're led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, oh yeah, the devil has an agenda. He wants to trip you up, trap you up, and cause you to fail or sin. But at the same time, God is working more than the devil in that issue, and he is testing us so that we could be proven faithful. Now, first temptation, notice these three temptations. And Jesus was tempted in all points like we are. The first one was turn this stone into bread. Notice the timing of this. Jesus had fasted 40 days. He was physically weak and hungry. Now, I'm not good at fasting, and I should be. And the Lord gave me a word about fasting. I'm going to do a little better. All of us should. I won't tell you how I tried to fast one time and it went horribly wrong. Well, I guess I could. Could I tell them that, darling? Okay, my wife said I could tell you. We were living in California at the time, and the ministry we were connected to, TBN, had called a day of fasting. One day. And so I thought, well, surely I can go a day. I think I can go a day without eating. So I said, okay, I'm going to do like everybody else. I'm going to fast that day. And so I got up and thought, okay, water only. Okay, just water today. So I drank water. And a few minutes later, I thought, well, you know, coffee is really just water. So I enjoyed a cup of coffee. And then an hour or so later, I thought, well, you know, orange juice is liquid. And so I started drinking orange juice and justified it. Well, Edith Tripp came over that day, and I was telling her, I'm fasting, but I went from water to coffee and orange juice now. And Ida said, well, you might as well just put your dinner in the blender and drink it. Let me ask you a question. I don't know if you've tried to fast much, but imagine how weak and hungry you would be after 40 days. And the devil comes at an opportune time, and he targets an area he perceives is weak. He looked at Jesus and saw he had not eaten in 40 days, and he was hungry and weak. And then the devil had the nerve to say to Jesus, if you are the Son of God. Now, if I had been so weak and had not eaten for 40 days, if I had been in that weakened condition, and the devil, which I don't care much for anyway, on a good day, even when I'm strong and full, I don't care much for the boy. But if after 40 days of being hungry and weak, if that devil had come around and, if you are the Son of God, my response would have been, I'll show you, zap, and there would have been a loaf of bread right there. The first temptation for Jesus addressed his need for physical provision. And the devil made this reasonable and justifiable. You know, when we want to yield any temptation, we can justify it if we try. You're hungry. You've proven your point. You deserve to eat. If you don't eat, it's going to be really bad. Enough already. Turn the stone into bread and satisfy the craving of your flesh. Well, of course, Jesus could have done it, but if he had yielded to that temptation, he would have been submitting to the devil. He would have been obeying the devil. And then notice how Jesus responded when the devil tempted him. First thing Jesus said is, it is written. And he quoted the right scripture to the devil. And in this time, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8:3, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In the New Testament, later in his ministry, he went a while without eating, and his disciples who were with him and watching him were concerned and came to him and said, Master, you've not eaten in a while. Let us give you something to eat. And Jesus' response then was to his own disciples, oh, I've got food you don't know anything about. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So when the tempter came to Jesus, Jesus replied with the word, it is written. And then the second temptation occurred, and this addresses who or what we worship. The devil's still using that one today, tempting us to worship something or someone else other than God. And the devil took him to a high mountain. Do you know, even today, if you just even study a little bit, you don't need to study much about it, but the occult and Satanism, still evil spirits today love high places. You go to some of the metropolitan cities and the devil likes his crowd at the highest point in that city. Do some history and Google search on that, but not right now. So the devil took Jesus to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. Imagine what a sight that was to behold. And then the devil tried to negotiate with Jesus, saying, all this was given to me. I can give it to whomever. Jesus had to consider it. Hello? in order for it to be a temptation, there has to be a moment of consideration. Or it was not a temptation. But how did Jesus respond? Again, he responded with the word. It is written, and he quoted Deuteronomy 6:13, and he told the devil, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Now, the third temptation gets tricky. Because the third temptation, the devil did the most dastardly thing. It was despicable. It was diabolical. It was contemptible. It was villainous. It was outrageous. And I wish I could think of a more profane word that would be appropriate. I'll just let it go. It was dastardly. Here's what the devil did with the third temptation. The devil quoted Scripture. Satan brought Jesus to Jerusalem. Now, this is the capital of the world. If there was one city in all of the world that would qualify to be the capital city of the planet, it would be Jerusalem, and it's been that way for thousands of years. And he set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And this temptation, the devil said to Jesus, throw yourself down from here. And then the devil said, you're a word man. I tempted you twice and you responded with the word. So you're a word man. And so then in the third temptation, the devil quoted Scripture to Jesus, built into the temptation, said, throw yourself down because it is written. And he quoted Psalm 91. I mean, he should be locked up right now forever in the pit of hell on fire. The devil quoting Psalm 91. I mean, I quote that about every day. A part of it. That's some of our go-to scriptures for protection and angelic covering. And the devil had the nerve. I mean, if I were a cussing man, I'd let it go right here, right. I am tired of that devil now. The thought of the devil going to Jesus and using Scripture. Psalm 91. And that's a dangerous temptation when there is a suggestion that there is scriptural authority for the temptation you're facing. So Satan was in essence telling Jesus, why don't you do something spectacular right here to demonstrate your power and even the word. Since you're a word man, here's one for you. The word says, if you jump down, the angels will catch you before you get hurt in the fall down there. I mean, go ahead and do something spectacular. And even today, a lot of believers think something sensational or even spectacular is a sign of spirituality. Can be, but not always. It's not the true litmus test. But Jesus was smarter than the devil. Even though the devil quoted Scripture, a good one at that, Jesus said, devil, that's not the right Scripture for this situation. The right Scripture for this situation is, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, the devil can quote Scripture. That's why Jesus never said, my sheep read my word. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I remember arguments used to break out a long time ago, and I didn't know what to do about it in my early years. But people who would get in my face, and I'm sure you've had it in yours, say, the Bible is just a book. It's full of contradictions. It can't all be true. It's full of contradictions. And the truth is, if it's nothing but literature, it is. That's why you have to do more than be able to read the Word. The devil can read the Word. He knows the Word. He can quote it back to you. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And that way, if we hear his voice, we know what word is appropriate for this situation. A couple of Sundays ago, I talked about Solomon and the purpose in every season of our life. And right there in one verse, it'll say there's a time to be silent and there's a time to speak. Well, that's a contradiction right there in one verse. So if you do nothing but read, you're clueless. The devil can read. That's why it's more important to hear his voice. That way we know the right word for this occasion. We know whether in this occasion we should be silent or whether in this occasion we should speak. Jesus said, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. And then in John 18:37, Jesus said, everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. I'm going to quickly close because, yes, it's time. I'm having to use my phone this morning. Tell me what time it is. We have a clock on the wall. It's about 200 pounds. We were the first church in America, I think, that put a clock in the sanctuary so that I could see it. We used to think, you know, you couldn't be spiritual if you had a clock in the church. But we figured out how we could. James chapter 1, verse 12 says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never attempts anyone else. That's why when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he was fully man. Because if he had been fully God, he couldn't have been tempted, but he was tempted. And then it says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18 says, since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we're being tested. Last Sunday, I talked about the Holy Spirit. It was the Pentecost Sunday. And the Holy Spirit, first and foremost, is our helper. How pitiful it is for people who don't know the helper. They have to go through life without his help. But we have a helper. And it says, since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he's able to help us when we are being tested. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. We need to know that. Sometimes the devil will lie to me. Carl, ain't nobody been through what you've been through. You're the only one. Nobody else can even understand what you're dealing with. You're the only one. That's how bad you are. That's how hopeless you are. You got it worse than anybody. Nobody knows. No different than what others. He tells the same lies to everybody. But the Bible says, and God is faithful. Here's the good news. I want to close with some good news. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. Some of you feel under the weight and under the pressure of a test or a trial or a temptation. God's controlling it. It's like gauging the thermostat. He's the one who sets the boundaries. He can tell the devil, you can't go any further than that. This is where you stop right here. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. That's the good news. Everybody here dealing with temptations and testings of our faith. And there is always a way out. He will show us the way out. The King James Version calls it the way of escape. The Greek literally means an exit or an escape door or the end result. Think about it. This temptation you're dealing with right now, the devil is saying, nobody else has had it as bad as you. You'd be justified just to go ahead and yield to that temptation because nobody's been through this. I mean, nobody can help you. That's how bad off you are. You're hopeless right now. But God promises, even in that situation, he will reveal an exit door, an escape, a way out. And many times it comes by him revealing what the end result will be. And we can overcome like Jesus did.